interrupting the current cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is BTW RLM 358 as we continue. Don't know where. We got a choice. And it's up to all of us. And we could deny it or realize there's a truth behind all that. We have the responsibility to do something. If we're going to complain, I suppose, if we don't like where things are going, we have to step up and stop it. I like to focus everything in that we can on a crime. And then that gives us a justification to move along in our own righteousness if we needed it. And I'm noticing it's been really clear in the last couple of years, people have to be given permission again to do what they're supposed to do. It's as if that there's been a bunch of propaganda going on in people's mind and systems and education and all that said somewhere else is going to make these decisions, when in fact the actual authority was in us to keep what we needed to keep. As I researched, I found that there's a requirement to keep, because if anybody can look out, there's lots of criminals out there who make up all kinds of story in order to take advantage. That's not my rule. I wish it was different. But because that's a reality, we have things that we have to do. And so I resort to, because of failures I've seen over decades of people, and I talk about them even till today, people still making the same mistake, I've resorted to what I call the black and white, with the thing that's already things that are already written to identify what's objective basis. And in part knowing that this insanity you see today, the people, insane people starting to get an air to actually move these insane agendas forward, not only were a plan, but they're also built into the insanity. I'm talking real insanity, people that have mental illness, that found a purpose in the world, and they happen to be called politicians, those that are, not everybody's that way, but those that are, those that will tape up a cause, become an activist. You hear now in the insanity of what's going on, all this labeling, and I said, be careful, don't get yourself into a place where you're labeled. You may not want to hear that, because it's comfortable to be with a group of people that are under the same label, but that's what is used to vilify you. And this evidence, the fact of this, for anybody that's involved, I can't see how you don't see that. I see it really all the time. It's one of the main factors that we go into a condition as we see someone particular, what the kinds of issues that we take on relative to what government was supposed to do and what it doesn't do, and then how to get everybody back to what it was supposed to do. How they've taken you off is they've created an alternative, and they create the terminology around that. And you give it to them. You let them do it. And as I was telling you last week, even co-opted what production is with respect to trying to take up what manufacturing within an urban area does to regulate it. That's the encroachment. And I look around in that and I said, that's where we're going to go ahead and put our foot down on it. And we're going to show that they can't do that. All of a sudden, we take away their jurisdiction. And that little word, it's a peculiar word, but at least it has been. I've used it quite a bit. It's something that you got to look at first. If you find someone who doesn't have an authority, why do you continue listening to them? And if they're in official capacity, why aren't you out in their crime against you, their felony against you? This situation is not that hard. Why I continue to play crickets is because we are, and there's no reason for it. And it's really kind of irritating. It's not just kind of, it is a lot irritating to me. And to watch people do, typically always going in the wrong direction, inventing things that they don't need to be invented. And I've been trying, apparently I'm not doing such a good job behind a witch head, but to come forward to say, no, you can do it a lot more refined, a lot more direct. In fact, somebody, one of the mining district meeting, he laughed at me. He goes, well, you're just too direct. People don't like that. I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about on the subject matter. Everyone likes to somehow beat around the bush, and they don't like someone that comes and said, listen, here's your form that you follow. Here's the elements. Plug in the elements and see where you stand. if you plug in the elements and that is giving you the license to do what you need, and I don't mean license in its permission to do an illegal act, I mean what people consider to be permission, again, teaching people that they got permission to make decisions on their own, don't have to go look for an authoritas, then you can make up your own determinations immediately. It's in the black and white already. And so, again, here, I can feel myself, I'm getting irritated because this is so simple. If you want to, again, another thing, if you want, I've been doing it recently here, I don't know why, just these people with these same troubles, they come in waves. People trying to figure out in public lands, how do you identify a county road? And I point them to Jefferson Mining District, I point them to the Highways and Trails document. You know, I did this again at the Jefferson Mining District meeting we had Friday. And I said, here's the four elements. You read them, you plug in what those four elements are. And if you can fill the four elements in that one short little paragraph, you have defined what a county road is. This is not a question. This doesn't go to the court. There's no one that can interfere. It's conformed to the black and white. If you can't fill the elements, then maybe not. And so I look out and I apply this very same basic principle to about everything I look around to try. Again, it's too much work to go the other way. And you get in trouble, actually. Lots of people have gotten in a lot of trouble. Needlessly, as far as I can tell. And so part of it's I wish better for y'all that go out there and do things. Another part is I don't know what else to do to tell you. With all your complaints, there's a way at this that's a lot better than what I've been hearing. And anyway, in the meantime, we've been talking about this thing that's a potential attack on us in the health side. And I've been talking to you about how to identify the potential real problem with this coronavirus. And I'm going to just touch a story because it's just an update. And interesting how fiction is weirder than life. Or not. Maybe it's fiction that's had an insight. And this is the interesting question on this story that popped up here. Right, I think it was the day after I talked about that again last week. A virus called Wuhan 400 causes outbreak in Dean Koontz thriller from 1981. The Eyes of Darkness, a 1981 thriller by best-selling suspense author Dean Koontz, tells of a Chinese military lab that creates a virus as part of its biological weapons program. The lab is located in Wuhan and lends the virus its name, Wuhan 400. And so, what's the chicken and the egg here? Did someone with a plan take the good idea? Or did someone have information to write the good idea that would be implemented later? The point is that we have evidence that this stuff is out in the world. It's not unknown. It seems to follow a continuing script. And as I say, for us, it's a matter of what's the real needle. Now, I've also said, and it's just coming out today, I think I saw, the United States flu is now outpacing coronavirus. And where do we get that? Was from the information, from Pennsylvania, that said that this year was one of the worst in a decade for flu. And so the flu's nothing to sneeze at. You don't want to get it. It's regular flu, but that's what this coronavirus does. And this coronavirus has got some other things onto it. And I still am fascinated that they're not, now that it's starting to be found in other places, and it's starting to accelerate in other places, and you start seeing how the first so-called first world countries are really mishandling this whole thing as well. Is that a plan? Well, you have to watch out for those mishandlings, because that's the dangerous part. But this is less dangerous at this point than the flu now becomes in the United States. It's still dangerous. No one really should get the flu. It can kill you. Again, it kills, hundreds of thousands, 650,000 in estimate one. One of the estimates, 650,000 people. And in Wuhan and in China, they're still not up to the 90,000 number that we were using a few broadcasts, but it was almost predicted, if you will. What is the chicken and the egg answer here? Which came first, actually? Was this somebody who was told some information Could he put it together? You hear me do some of this sometimes. I don't want to put myself into this class, but you hear me put various types of technology together and say, here, this is what's going to work out in the future. This information on what they have invented in disparate parts will be put together, and this will be the technology of the future. I do that. Whether I can go to tell you that it comes out of Wuhan at a time when there wasn't the weapons lab there, I don't know. That's a different type of thing, it seems. It's been stated this guy could have pulled information of the time together to do that. But this is almost on the edge. For me, it's a little bit over the edge of being able to go so specific without somebody actually knowing something in reality, some real conditions. Like I kind of tell you about the silent weapons for quiet wars. It doesn't look like it, but go read that document. You're plugging right into the circuit they built you, and you're not resisting at all. And you're not understanding how to keep yourself different, how to make yourself that difference, how to discuss that problem of jurisdiction up front. In fact, I think Grimner put me a link. Somebody at Mines posted that document. It's out there, folks. The information is out there. You think that that's like this conspiracy theory? It's just conspiracy. It's intelligence. What is it? What are you going to use it for? It's all up to you. Each one of us makes that decision. Do we all of a sudden tell everybody all we know? I've learned you don't do that. What you do is you hold back everything that you don't need to say in any moment. And you only focus, so you should be focusing, I guess I should, I know it's in quotes here, but you should be focusing on things you can do. You hold all other information back. And you only respond, it's like your own intelligence system. The person that's trying to come against you, you respond on a need-to-know basis. They only need to know what they need to know to show that you can stop them in their thinking they have authority. You don't tell them everything you know about it. In fact, you start to make evidence that they don't know. And the only way you do that is to know you know the end of the road. That same road I was telling you go down to the Difference of Mining District Highways and Trails document, you know whether or not that thing's a granite highway, disposed, and it's not in anybody else's control. It's granted for you to use. It's an ingress and egress, and it has no control over it as long as you're not destroying it. And there's no obstruction right in any agency, in any government, or in any other one in the road. And I don't understand why people don't get to the point of looking through some of these things and saying, okay, well, this could be a threat, but where are we going to position ourselves and keep that small little nugget, as I call it, the bag of law, preserved for the time when we need it. So the virus is breaking out. It was almost predicted to the name. I don't know what to even think about this. I'm looking for the reality. The local flu in the United States is being not talked about, and it's a bigger problem in the United States than just the normal flu, which the Wuhan will become when it keeps showing up. Remember, all this stuff is not novel. That's still fascinating, and it hasn't been declared a pandemic. People are declaring the one in the United States a pandemic, but the flu can't be because why? It's not novel. And you don't hear about it. And the WHO, the World Health Organization, not an owl, not just a noise in the forest. But supposedly a health authority has not declared this thing a pandemic. And it's probably because they realize it's either not something novel that they've been working on for a vaccine or plan to, or it's wild, and they know that. And they've found out that they're just coming out now. If we were continuing, they're finding out it didn't really come from the sewers of the wet market. Yeah, it's focusing more back onto those two extensions of the labs. Now, this brings it back to your governments, and this brings it back to the bigger problem. The governments are willing to do this between themselves and to each other. It's you that they're actually targeting. And we have to have a better idea about all this. And then what are they targeting? It becomes a continuing problem. I don't know if you appreciate how almost impossible it seems it is to be able to truly identify what they're dealing with. And this has got me, and this came up here right after the last broadcast. How are they identify? They say they're testing. How are they actually testing when they prove all the tests really don't do anything? And I go again, turn to John Rappaport, who turns on a new statement and exposes more of this problem that he's been studying for decades and decades. He now points this out in an interview He goes, how are viruses discovered and identified in the first place? See, we tend to, and I don't know if I do this so much anymore, but we tend to allow someone to be an authority in knowledge that they really don't, that we assume that they're doing it. Everybody does everything in the best interest. Everybody does it in the best good faith. And that probably and likely is farthest as evidence of what happens. It's evidence is farthest from the truth. There's so much conflict of interest involved in lots of areas of human foible, the fallen nature, that this is beyond belief that we continue to believe. He asks a good question. How do they know? The question had been asking since 1987's John Rappaport. Now, he's going to go into HIV here. But the point is when you look at the causative critter, the beastie that's going to be doing this stuff to you, has anybody actually seen it? He goes through this question. This is where I didn't know John Rappaport long years ago, but when I was doing, when HIV came along, I found it was a problem, really problematic, and you've heard me say before, it's a scam. And when I pointed part of that out to you when I said, go look at the test that they provide for HIV is an subjective an opinion of a clinical diagnosis, which, for the most part, is really flu symptoms. Oh, the same thing as coronavirus, because that's how a body responds to this immunity attack. And so, there's problem. This question, how do you identify this stuff, is important. I'm not looking at it about talking about the coronavirus or the flu. I'm saying we have to start understanding that what's out there as authority and experts say why it's a tongue-in-cheek joke anymore, really has to start coming to the forefront in an analysis and in objections. Because they're utilizing this, as we see in the military sense of the martial law, to lock everything down. And if you start having this information, this is noticed through John Rappaport, of an interview that happened that can give you a body of evidence and knowledge that you stick in your bag of law to counter a future imposition that may be coming. I've told you, you have to have a place to stand. You just can't say, oh, they're criminals. You have to say, they're criminals and here's where I stand different to show you why that they're criminals. Lots of people used to say, I'm not subject to the state, but they never declared where they would be subject. That's where I tell you the mining law and the land disposal grant law gave me a place to stand. It was exclusive against all the governments because it was a grant. And so I have a place to stand, and it's not supposed to be interfered with. That's a powerful understanding when you start getting this. So you have to have the same thing in the more intangible areas like medical health against the police power that the government's doing it for the public good. So how do you identify a virus at all? How do you identify any of this stuff? John's been asking this question for 1987. He says if the experts are going to claim the particular virus causes a particular disease, how do they know that the virus exists in the first place? For example, supposedly new coronavirus in China, for example, Ebola, for example, HIV, for example, the coronavirus supposedly causing SARS 2003. How do these researchers know these viruses exist? Well, of course they know. They must. This is not a satisfactory answer, he writes, even though most people would offer it. And this is what I keep telling you, really bore down on evidence. Understand unless you see it before your own eyes proven and you understand what the supposed proof is actually telling you, you can't believe anything and you have a obligation to yourself at least to challenge every bit of it that comes as some kind of an authority to affect you. And this is what I keep telling you. This is not about coronavirus. This is not about military martial law. It's not about being jumped on. It's about anticipating. This is just one subject matter that they'll jump on you in lots of other areas, that the response is the same to subject matter specific evidence. So you grab this little story from John Rappaport, you read it, you jump over to the link. Can electron microscopy resolve the HIV battle? An exclusive interview with electromagnetic pioneer Dr. Etienne de Harvin. And you go read exactly what the science, what the technology can do or not do. And this is where it starts to get real interesting for all those of us that thought science was, we were being told how this thing works, and because somebody declared something, it was so. Does the flu exist? Yes. What causes it? Maybe a whole different other proof that hasn't been in the world yet. We make stuff up. And so, how, like I said, if you want to go after climate change and you get the wrong thing, you're going to kill people because you got the wrong thing. And that's up to each one of us to say, wait a minute, you're claiming an expert status. That's an office I'm not going to extend to you. And you're doing it unwarranted without the office and also without the proper proof. That's a felony. See, I just did it again, folks. It only takes 20 seconds. You just have elements from the extortion or coercion statutes to plug in. And if someone's doing that, you can at least allege it. And hopefully you actually have a better position to be able to make it stick until as a presumption-flipping burden. If you also understand what I've been talking about, when you make an administrative challenge and they haven't answered you, they really can't, there's no real authority to impose upon you until they provide that answer. And it has to be the right answer. And our problem as a society is we haven't gone to the mat with these people. If we had to go to the mat, we've never even done that, let alone showing that there's no mat to go down to. And there's nothing that more to us to do than to show that we're being lied to. There's the interview, a question to start this thing off, and I'll only read a few paragraphs of this. You can get it yourself. It's really fascinating what we assume exists and what we're being told is the truth, when in fact someone like this tells us, who's been in the field, tells us something different. And I don't know how many people have heard this or not. This is partly what I was hearing back in the 80s, maybe late 70s. Things like this were leaking out. Not this interview, but the failure of this information, of the technology. As I told you, a friend of mine was gay. I didn't know anything about the gay lifestyle or anything like that. In talking, I worked with him for about 6 months. In talking through with him, things would come out and we'd talk of situations. He gave me a great insight as to the actual fear that the gay people had at the time. And I told you this on the air before, so this is nothing new. He predicted, what his problem was people, what they called flaming queers. His problem was that was an act. And it would act itself out and it would do harm to the people that were in the community naturally. And he essentially predicted what we're seeing today in the so-called LGBTQ because it became political, not a fact. And so through that is how I started to understand that there was the HIV thing and doing some research. This is all before the internet now. There was problems with how they were doing this, how they were promoting all this. So it started to give me an insight that our health ministers, so-called, maybe feeding us a line of nonsense. But here's the interview. They tell us about electron microscopy, EM, electron microscopy. What is it? What need did it answer when it was pioneered, and what role did you play in it? This is Dr. Harvin. I understand when you read the article, they say this guy who got put in jail for 12 years, and he was deemed to be mentally unfit. So listen to his answers here, and you make your own decision. The thing is that this would actually offer, even if he is mentally unfit, if he's got truth here, you need to put it in your bag of law for the specific subject matter of a containment or quarantine. You want to know that you're not going to be stuffed in with a bunch of people that are sick when they're not necessarily able to know what they're sick about. This is a very difficult problem. You want to talk about being free, you want to talk about being antecedent to the government, for your benefit, they're doing this. I've talked to you all about this. You better have your game way up when you come into these things. So here's some evidence here. How do they know? What are they dealing with? There are several types of electron microscopes, EMs. One that brought by far the most important contributions to biomedical research is the transmission electron microscope, or the TEM. the transmission electron microscope. I shall therefore limit my remarks to the birth of TEM. The inventor, TEM, is Ernst Ruska, who constructed and successfully operated the first TEM in collaboration with Knoll in Berlin at the research laboratories of Siemens CY in 1931. The instrument was aimed at developing a microscope offering a resolution better than that of the optical microscope. By resolution, we mean that the shortest distance separating two punctual objects that could still clearly be recognized as two and not one. I won't go through the numbers. I'm just going to set that up. We're dealing with a doctor who was involved heavily with understanding electron microscopy in looking for these beasties. Or do they exist? Let's see them. Let's have evidence of them. And again, do we just have words coming to us that all this stuff exists? We take little cognizance, it seems, that these tests fail, that these things aren't there, and we certainly do not look a lot deeper to find out how they could never be. So he goes on to, Dr. Harvindar goes on, by the early 1960s, all the known viruses had been well characterized under EM, and unquestionably, TEM has been a major factor in the emergence of modern virology as well as of modern cell biology. Nobelist André Lwoff recommended at the Cold Spring Harbor Conference in 1962 that the general classification of all viruses be primarily based on their morphology as seen by EM. By 1970, however, in spite of the most extensive worldwide research effort, not a single virus was ever demonstrated by TEM to be significantly associated with any form of human cancer or leukemia. Question. What happened exactly vis-a-vis HIV and EM in 1983-1984? Was patient blood serum, HIV ELISA, WB positive, validated against EM ever? It seems to me they say that yes, it was, yet we have Magnier saying we did not purify. Let me elaborate the question a little. What should have happened versus what did happen with the new virus and EM in this period of time? The answer? What happened in 1983 is a direct consequence of what developed since 1970, i.e., the highly predominant reliance on molecular markers. Unacceptably frustrated by the lack of success in all attempts to demonstrate virus particles in human cancer by EM, the impresarios of the cancer virus dream, Gallo, Vacci, Vacchi, and others, totally engaged in the molecular approach. Consequently, they invented molecular markers to compensate for missing viral particles. This would have been acceptable if the specificity of these new molecule markers would have been clearly established. Unfortunately, this was not the case. The most misleading molecular marker was probably the first one, i.e. the enzyme reverse transcriptase, RT, RT, following Temin and Baltimore 1970 papers in Science, the paper Science. The RT enzymatic activity has been most abusively used as a special viral marker. Both Temin and Baltimore demonstrated RT activity in samples of supposedly purified retrovirus. Embarrassingly, they both omitted to verify the purity of the samples by EM. I just want to interject here. If you look at the failures just on how they're doing this, you'll see very similar failures in the studies and tests that are done where you stop finding that steps in the process were not done to requirement, whether it's purification or control or sampling testing purity of the materials that you're using and other things. Continuing here. Embarrassingly, they omitted to verify the purity of their samples by EM. Some by EM now, looking directly at the stuff itself. Some of their samples were simply purchased from commercial company, True, the label on the vials read Pure Retrovirus. However, it was known that these commercial Pure Retrovirus were heavily contaminated with cellular debris. And I'm going to interject it one more time. Remember, he's saying EM. He was really speaking that that's the lower resolution, and they're looking for it there. We're still not yet at the transmission electron microscope yet, at least by his statement here. Going back here to continue his paragraph. And since it is also known that cells contain RT, cellular debris are most likely carrying similar RT enzymes. Temin and Baltimore did not, therefore, prove that RT is a specific molecular marker for retroviruses. It would have been so simple to check by EM the degree of purity of the samples they used. This would have most probably shown important cell debris contamination and would have obliged Tenement and Baltimore to be much more cautious in interpretation of their results. In 1975, the members of the Nobel Committee most regrettably failed to scrutinize this purity problem. In 1983, at Pasteur Institute in Paris, reliance on the RT marker was a key element in the claimed isolation of the new retrovirus. Still, Montagnier himself recognized, quote, "We did not purify." He dangerously omitted to consider the misleading interference of cell debris, just as Temin and Baltimore did in 1970. But a paper on the discovery of the new retrovirus looks much better if it contains at least one EM picture. So the members of Montagnier's team spent hours at the TEM, looking at their mixed cell cultures, and they found the virus. They showed it in Figure 2 in their historic 1983 Science paper. It is, by the way, a good quality EM picture. It shows unquestionable retroviral particles budding at the surface of the cell, but the legend of this Figure 2 states that this cell is a cord blood lymphocyte. Indeed, cord blood lymphocytes are admixed to these complex cell cultures. Why? Montagnier and his co-workers should have known that human embryonic tissues and the placenta, in particular, are very rich in endogenous retroviruses, or HERVs, and that cord blood lymphocytes should therefore be expected to carry the same endogenous retroviruses under the TEM. Endogenous and exogenous viruses looking identical cannot be distinguished. Budding of these particles has perhaps been stimulated by some of the growth factors also present in these cell cultures. An essential control would have been to repeat the experiment using lymphocytes from the peripheral blood instead of cord blood. This control is unfortunately missing. In short, we frankly state that Pasteur 1983 paper, whose 30th anniversary has just been celebrated in a grand mess of official HIV retroviology, contributed very little in HIV/AIDS research because its conclusions, i.e. the isolation of a new retrovirus, is based on 1, the use of a non-specific RT molecular marker, and 2, is falsely supported by EM pictures, most probably endogenous human retroviruses. And so that's just a small sample of what this doctor goes through to explain. We were told, if you were alive then or not, if you're not, then this is what you're being told today, how they do their tests. And what we don't even really, I don't know of many people that even consider these things. And then I don't even know how, in my view and the things I focus on, how would you track down all this stuff? You'd have to be a specialist with that knowledge, that's for sure. And so this is evidence that I've been living with all this time. Now I hear it from someone who was involved. What my scant review started to pick up the incongruities with what we've been told, and it helped before I got into all this stuff in the 90s. It helped to start to identify how you identify these things, how you identify how you're being scammed. Again, I'm not talking about the HIV, I'm not talking about the coronavirus, I'm not talking about even the question. I'm saying this is evidence in the of our history been foisted upon us that we probably likely don't even know about. Don't know the more detailed part, and there's tons more here if you read this. That is, I can just tell you, is in so many, same errors, same types of models of errors are in so many other subject matter areas that I feel, but I guess I'll say it that way, I feel, I know we do it, and so it's not a feeling, it's an experience, it's a wisdom, it's an actual application. When you identify these things and you show the failure to do certain tests, and, you know, we talk about this like 5G or vaccines or all this. When you start to bring the nuts and bolts, the bullet point points, you have to go on and on. You just bring the bullet points to the table, if you will, and put them in as an objection to something that you already don't, that you're already complaining about. You're going to be much more effective, if not absolutely effective, in how to address this. This will not, what I'm suggesting will not end the crime against you. What it does is it sets the record of the witness that you then, they will try to figure out a way around it. They'll try to marginalize it. Again, they will marginalize, as soon as it's identifiable, they'll try to give it a name and marginalize it. Another kick it to the side. Kick it to the curb. Make it so it's not rise to the level. Then it's up to you to understand what that level has to be. And more importantly, as I see this, it's more important to understand relative to that whatever decision they make on the level, did the obligation that they actually had in the black and white, did they meet that? And this is where I start to, my mind turns quickly to that term, that odd term called practicability. It's not just practicable. It's not just practical. It's practicable. And this is more of a legal term, and it's a burden term. And so I look very carefully at that. It's not just because you know this information. It's that they've set up a system that you have to communicate in a certain way. And I've found, and you've heard me talk about it for years, how to start looking for that thing. Don't go off in the weeds with a bunch of herd mentality. Find the core of what's supposed to happen. Why I'm so, if I can say enamored, I want to put some emphasis here because it's really important. Enamored with the Virginia Constitution relative, up to about Section 3. Excuse me. Section 3. From the beginning, the preamble to, or whatever, however start that Bill of Rights starts to Section 3. It explains everything, just like I've been telling you. It's an organic presentation by the people, the governments of which were to serve them. The maladministration of which nothing in the Constitution saved is now your license, if you need the word license, your permission to go get yourself a government that works. Not make up new functions that I've explained, for example, in Virginia with the gun rights, the sanctuary nonsense. The same thing goes on today, even in all this other health stuff. So how are they doing this Wuhan 400? You can call it anything. You can even say it got started there, but what is it? Interesting information here. They can't even see this stuff. My problem is, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with something that makes your nose run, makes you have a fever, and they can't see it. And science would require better evidence, don't you think? And yet we accept all this stuff as being valid. And I think, going one more step deeper in our mind, body, spirit, wholesomeness, that affects our spirit. Our mind is a powerful weapon against that. And there's other power that we bring that's not necessarily mind. We hear maybe like positive thinking that we're defeated in somehow because we're persuaded that someone has a better idea. And I look around the world now and I see all these people were do-gooders and they're just self-interested. Look at the hockey stick. Look at what they're doing underneath the cover of Title 50. Look what they do under national security. Look what they do for profits. For as fickle as even that system is. And so we can listen to all this science, so-called. It's under, you know, when I said the word science, it was in quotes in this article. You should get the article and read it. It's interesting. It's in quotes. The interviewer, the doctor wasn't even convinced anymore. And he admits he wasn't even, that wasn't even his direction when he got in. But almost wasted 27 years, but he didn't waste it because he uncovered a vast scam. He didn't start to find out that there was a big lie going on. That's inside. And then, you know, we hear the stories, it's repeated, that when you come out to, if you will, whistleblow, they try to handle you. And so I want to move on there now. We don't even know what we're dealing with. For me, I just want to know. Don't stop scamming me. I don't know about you all, but let me, if you got a picture of it and it's valid, let me see it. Don't give me a bunch of story around it. Don't work with the Nobel Peace Prize scam artists. You remember, they were the one that gave Obama the Peace Prize for bombing and killing people by drones after they allowed the government threw out everything, international law and everything else, to be able to make criminals out of all y'all and decide whether or not you could exist in the next minute based on a Bureau of Rats decision. And moving from the fact that I don't know what medical science is telling us because they can't see a dang thing, and I don't know what's changed since this interview. I guess you could go track that down. It seems to be all the same problems. They make it up and you believe it. You make no objection, but you whine about it and cry about how it's adversely affecting us. And we're seeing in China how they're really showing us they're going to lock these places down that they need to. It doesn't necessarily happen, it's going to happen all the time. You're going to be marginalized and cut out. Now, there's a balancing act over there is that economy, which I find fascinating. They're having people go back to work already, even though they don't have a handle, and it's to show you that this is just a manipulated condition as well. But there are certain realities. You got to be aware of how the dynamic works, because if it comes to a location near you, you're going to need to have the better answers than most of the herd, for sure. But what, as moving from herd into animals, can we learn something from the animals? Instead of the science that's propped up, a new report comes out here this last day or two. Animals take medicine when they are sick. A few striking cases. It was a fascinating little story. And what it was fascinating for me is to hear someone who pulls out different animals that actually do things in their lives to counter illnesses that they have. Now, you would think, for me, it was like no question. I mean, whoever has a dog or a cat, you see them go eat grass. That's the start of this. They're doing their own thing. And there's a definition for this self-medication that's really not part of their diet. There's a very definite thing you have to look, three things you have to look at to make sure that they're essentially medicating themselves. Just animals, you know, this brainless, conscienceless thing that's out there with four legs. They do the same thing that people do. But they don't rely on some doctor. They do it instinctually. This is where I want to get to that mind-body-spirit thing. There's communication you can have that will guide you if you don't already have some of it innately. And this is where I get to the herb thing. And this is where I want to move from the fact that animals will medicate themselves. And we can go read some, but I think it's better if you're interested, you read it, take the time. Animals will do this on their own. In other words, like there was even a monarch butterfly. One of the examples of monarch butterfly, if it has a particular parasite, it will find one particular highly toxic milkweed and plant its eggs on that milkweed. And the ones that are healthy don't find that milkweed. The ones that have the parasite go find the milkweed. They lay their eggs. The babies are going to caterpillars. The caterpillars eat that plant. And the next generation doesn't have the parasite. This is one of the interesting examples. They show a distinction between all the rest of the herd doing something and the ones that are sick go find the things they need. It's pretty interesting to my mind. I'm pretty fascinated. And so here's the thing. Animals naturally seek out self-medication to fix themselves. And what do they use? They use nature to do it. My question on this wasn't really a question. My observation, I should really correct it, is to say, since when as a free people did you allow the government to restrict any natural thing from you? That we can see evidence that even the uncivilized world, the wild world, has more freedom to self-medicate as they deem fit. That you in the civilized world do not have that right. What am I saying that for? Because as I've been asking you to start rethinking how you approach all this, where you have a government or authoritar keeping you from certain things, you have an antecedent authority to say, but I did this before. In fact, if you want to treat, even if you want to treat me as a human, that animal, I have the natural right to seek natural medication. You don't have, and as I'm, what I'm saying now, and if you, some of you have, are leading that with your mind, you then go and use this against a government that wants to keep you from anything that's natural, in particular in my ideas move to the cannabis. What am I saying? I'm not saying decriminalize. I'm saying they have to get their clutches off of something that was in your antecedent inherent nature to have access to. The interference of which is a harm, and what they do to you, they're doing to the rest of the public, and now that's not a public good. One more thing to throw on this to try and re-rest your prior antecedent rights back from a government that was established to protect it all. Instead of letting the loony bins of the world, the literally insane people, figure out how to build themselves into a place and make themselves important. Like we hear all these triggered types. And I'm not just stricken on them because the conservatives are just as nuts. See, I see everybody having the same mental problem, so don't think I'm going politics here. Until I see a bunch of people talking like me and acting me and then coming back and saying, but your stuff don't work. Until I see that, I won't even know anybody's doing anything. They just keep agreeing to the insanity themselves. And when I do see that, I'll just make an adjustment because I know I'm not that far off. And why do I know that? Because when we apply all this stuff the way I'm saying, no one has an answer to it, and we go that way. We go the way the objective basis was established before we got here. Let me offer to you in a more tangible way, and I haven't applied, we haven't had to focus on this this kind of a thing when I'm talking about the animals self-medicating, let's move to cannabis and do the same thing. It references itself on the things of county concern. Things of county concern are exclusive to the county to decide. That's your local government. And what we focus on in production extends to our ingress and egress on the highways. The thing of county concern, the thing that the state tries to take away from people, is the use of their highways. It is actually under state county jurisdiction. And not to their control, but their to protection. It is the kind of thing I'm trying to talk to you about here. How you take these ideas, this so-called story here, this news, this information, this interesting look at nature, that insects, even insects, little beasties, self-medicate in whatever nature they need is out there to go do it, and you as a free people don't have that much right. It is a fascination to me. And that you'll complain instead of doing the more proper response to put these people that claim an authority in their place is an interesting fascination to me. And so, we see here's evidence to me, animals will do it, why don't you have the right to do it? Go to the thing you need to medicate, and it's on your determination. I'm only answering to this because I just, again, as I said before, I wasn't into any of these things. We're now seeing the psychedelic mushrooms. I'm not into all that stuff for that sake. That's powerful medicine that I think you have to have a powerful ailment for. A lot of people don't consider it that way. It's the way I conceive it. It's never been interesting to me. I've never had anything that any of that would actually need to help me. But when I found in the world that there were people that needed it and they were being stopped, that's when I got my sense of justice got violated. Didn't quite realize it that way. Yeah, I bought into the phantasm of the wild, wood, weed, dangerous, you know, mind-killing type stuff. Yeah, I didn't really think more about it. But here we have animals do it. They treat you as, they call you a human, they marginalize you as a human. You can still go in with this and say, well, I'm a human, I'm an animal, you want to treat me like an animal, I want the rights of an animal. You don't have the right in your antecedent, no antecedent authority to come and take this away through your legislation that we the people created. Now you're not the animal anymore, you're the posterity which have to be men and women. And so if you understand the distinction in labeling, that you make sure that you're in the right status and they don't have a right to marginalize you. It's a crime when they do that. So, again, the terminology is important. We have evidence in these stories. We have access to information on the internet that explain to us things, fascinating things about nature. Why don't people have these rights in themselves? Shows you how far from the republic that you are supposed to keep we are. And we're getting so far and so far away, I keep telling you, I don't know if we're going to do this. I really don't know how we're going to salvage this, because so many people would rather make up stuff, make up fantastical answers that don't exist anywhere. And I think it's all psyops. I think it's planned. I think it's because people have no thoughts. The best first idea that sounds cool, we're going to jump on, instead of everyone stepping back and saying, well, we don't have to make up any of this stuff. Define the limit of the authorities that are trying to do what they're going to do, and you find yourself in your position before that in time, chronology, and authority. Declare that, and then focus on the violation of their oath or their connection to the establishment in any authority. As I said, the highways are things of county concern. The disposal and the use are things of county concern. I said the counties, though, don't have control. And so this is another step there. And when people start to understand this, I think better and more universally, we're going to start to get back, and we may actually do some things that I'm wondering whether or not it's going to really happen. We're still in that foot race. We've lost so much. We're like almost a whole lap back, as I can tell. We're so far back, we look like we're first. And we, the people, should have never been in the race that way. It's pretty fascinating. And yet, here we are. And I keep talking, and I keep hoping that people will start to understand the dynamic that we're up against. And I told you, I've kind of touched base on some things that are underlying a problem. I don't get to talk to them. I don't study them. They're just things I know that are there. And I don't know if this was an anticipation. Social media has corrupted these ideas, so I don't even want to really touch too much on them. But the underpinning of these types of rules that we now see that are so outlandish and untenable and insane at some level can find their roots in the things I don't necessarily speak to, because they are been, in a way, destroyed. You can't converse in these subject matters without creating its own division. So I'd rather not work on creating division more than say, listen, there's no way we're going to cut through the plan that was set up before us. We're going to have to avoid all that, and we still have to get something done. And we can defeat all that if we proceed in a certain way. The impositions of this thing in a couple of different areas I've touched on in the last few, just mentioned a couple broadcasts, kind of comes out today more importantly again in this healthcare thing in a generic way. Again, we see how the evidence of animals allows us. We can do this on our own, apparently. Yes, Western medicine has things to offer us, but it's usually in a limited place. But at some point, as I've been trying to show you, you're going to be marginalized out of, and you'll be forced, you're going to consent into the condition that you complain about. It's like the silent weapons or quiet wars thing again. You'll be a place to plug in or restrictions to get in, special club card to get in, certain behaviors that they're going to require of you, and you'll eventually do that. Maybe you won't, you think you won't, or maybe you're too old and don't care and it won't matter before you get there, but for the most part, the society will eventually go that way unless they get a better idea about themselves. Another responsibility of mother, don't feel abused, don't be victimized, stand up into the responsibilities. These things are going to come on in your health care. They're already here now, and they all find their roots in these things that I don't usually talk to because of this division that people make. And it really bothers me to watch really intelligent people doing the marginalization themselves. And I try to avoid marginalization concepts. But here's the effect. Here's the effect coming in people that is serious, a serious condition that that came out this last week. NHS, this is in the UK, NHS staff can refuse to treat racist or sexist patients under the new rules. Sexist and racist patients could be barred from non-emergency care at NHS Trust under new rules to be enforced from April. The current staff can refuse to treat non-critical patients who are verbally aggressive and physically violent towards them. But these protections will extend to any harassment, bullying, or discrimination, including homophobic, sexist, and racist remarks. So what you're seeing as triggers on these, on the liberal social media, is now law. Is the thing I was talking to you last week, that, and I talk to you, I tell you this regularly, the frame, the infrastructure for these rules and the direction was put in the law long before. And I mentioned that these things that we're going to, that's being used now, are finding their source from those. One of these sources, I'll say could be, likely it is known. It's in law. And when I saw this, and now it relates to your health care, they say non-emergency. Well, I don't know where they're going to put someone who has a, well, there's lots of questions here, but I mean, just one that comes to mind. Let's say it's someone who has mental illness and they can't help it because their brain's just misfiring or something, and they start doing this, and they're not necessarily, and the hospital will know not to make the statements that they're harmful to people. They can kick them back out. This is setting up an authoritarian condition of being able to determine, until you behave correctly, what kind of health care you're going to get. If you think it's going to stop here and not extend to your social credit that's being developed across the world onto you eventually in using biomarkers like the Real ID and the connections and eventually into your cashless society, you got another thing coming. So I just told you this is being set up for when that shows up. They're going to be able to give you a demerit, and you may not get the care you need. You're going to have the instincts of an animal, and you're going to have to work today to get the things that have been outlawed against you to be freed up so you can go get those things when they start doing this. So, yes, we shouldn't be abusive to healthcare workers, but when you get into the lack of clarity on the terms and the definitions, which we see have expansive they're meaningless, actually. It's on the feelings of the one who, not the objective basis, but the subjective feelings. Your services or your care or your things of need or necessity here's the evidence. They're willing to go after you in your time of health need. They use non-definable feelings in order to control you. This has another level down source. It's not just from you think, oh, there's just a bunch of triggered people. No, they're all being driven, and interestingly, by my friend a long time ago, who was he was gay. He explained, in part, the thing that the gay community was terrified by when you handed the things that they needed to get done over to those that made it theatrical. And this is what I think he was talking about, even though we were talking specifically to homosexual. He was speaking strictly to homosexuality and the culture way back in the 80s, early 80s. We're seeing the nonsense being brought on, and it was underpinned by another authority, which I mentioned last week. The rainbow flag has this connection when you research deep enough as well. And so, okay, so now I'm getting closer to talk a little bit more on this subject, because it's now becoming, I can't evade it. Now there's really nowhere to go. What I will do here, I'm going to show you, declare by their own declaration, the people who have been supporting all these excursions outside of your law, outside of your norms. It's in their own statements now. They came out right after I was talking last week. I can't even not touch on it now. This affects you. It's already been in the law. In fact, I did some research in here that these feeling conditions, the relativistic type condition that is not determined by you or objective basis, resides in the things that I told you last week called the no-hide law. And it's the model that they use in administrative law to defeat you if you don't respond to it correctly. And this came out, the source of this came out last week. I was just, one of the links I have, the title is jaw-dropping. I found my mouth opened up. I couldn't believe they went there, if you will. Now, on the other hand, what you're going to hear, I've told you about in international law. In international law, remember, what is international law? International law is just norms and customs of the interaction with between nations. In a way, it's voluntary. And I told you, relative to 2012 and the 2010, and when I went to crickets in 2012, when the United States government kicked the international law to the curb, and we went to what? Executive expedience, no judicial oversight. It reflects in all of what I'm going to tell you right now, and where the tail that wags the dog is now admitted they've gone. Israel declares it is above the law. Now, I couldn't believe when I read that, I couldn't believe that title. So I went around, and sure enough, there's more reports about this in different places. And then I found the source of the complaint, and I got their website, and I read what I could. It was in Hebrew. I can't read that. I could read their citations to the support that they were using in a court case that were in English, which I found fascinating, the resort to that. Relative to what they're going to what Israel declares here, it isn't just the title that Israel declares itself above the law. That's just the title. Here's what they said: they said they can legislate anywhere in the world. Now that triggered in me a thing I've heard about back in the 90s, some preliminary research of which then before I had access to the internet. Proved out that it was there, but water under the bridge, I forget about the memory hole for me on this stuff. And that's partly why I don't felt like I want to go back and research all this. I just work on the effect. I know the cause. I work on the effect. We solve that, and I don't worry about the rest of it. We solve it. We solve it pretty quickly. But here, Israel's critics often describe the country as being above the law, but until now, this has never been brazenly declared by its government. The documents published this week shows a legal representative of the Israeli government audaciously claiming that Israel can, quote, legislate anywhere in the world, close quote, that it is, quote, entitled to violate the sovereignty of foreign countries, and that it is allowed to ignore the directives of international law in any field it desires. I hope you were listening when I read those off. Let me go backwards through that. It is allowed to ignore directives of international law in any field it desires. Well, if I'm going to allow them to create, to be a state to say so underneath the international law, I have that as a question to start with. But let's just give them that little perk. I've explained to you that international laws is norms and customs between nations. They're not an actual nation. They're an occupier. They're a foreign occupier. They're going to prove that they're a rogue occupier in this statement, in these statements here. But it's true. Any state can ignore directives of international law because they're just norms and customs. In fact, no international law, so-called, can violate or can become contrary to any constitution, and that's in our United States Constitution as well. So what's interesting is they're making statements of truth. What you have to fall back track through is, well, what does that then make them? This little pipsqueak in the world, the tail end that wags a dog, a big dog, big beastie dog in the world. It's entitled to violate sovereignty of foreign countries. Well, let's think about that. Is it? That's almost a trick question, because international law allows for invasion, doesn't it? An occupation. And it says that international law principle is, if you're going to occupy a country, you do it stealthily. You don't rattle the natives. You don't let them ever know you're there. And then I just looked at the United States system and said, that's us. That's, we live underneath that. We don't know that there's not a military consequence directing the judicial civil side. And it makes it look like the civil is in control, when in fact, we've been under civil war and control since Lincoln, if not some other authority in the savings provision in the Article 6 of the Constitution, those prior engagements, folks. Yeah. Can they actually violate the sovereignty of foreign countries? Not actually, not openly. That's a pretty bold statement. But this is the type of people we're dealing with. This is the kind of rogue element that you're talking about. And this becomes important when you find out that something happened back in the 90s and that brought this rogue element into the United States. And I was fascinating that it's coming in the internet. They're finally talking about this stuff. So I felt a little more comfortable touching on this today. Entitled to violate the sovereignty of a foreign country. Do you think they're doing that to the United States? If they can get away with it, this is their attitude. Any country can violate the sovereignty of a country, but it's an invasion, isn't it? It's not law. It's not diplomacy. It comes from an attitude of superiority. Interestingly, this is like more like a parasite because it's not big enough to actually take on the sovereignty of foreign countries, is it? This is a very interesting insight in the mentality, or lack of it, of the people that we're dealing with. And then they say they can legislate anywhere in the world. Well, that's like a half-truth too, isn't it? They could legislate anywhere. Does it mean anything? To them it will, and this is the problem. To them it will. Does it actually encumber anybody? No, you just tell them to get the heck out of here. Can they legislate anywhere in the world with effect? They could through the host. As I tell you, this thing that we're dealing with comes on us. They influence you to do a thing against your better interest, and you convinced the public buy-in, correct? This is not different than that. They legislate anywhere in the world. This is the mentality of the people of the Israeli government. If you thought that you could live free from an oppression, you're not finding the importance of this condition as a negative. I don't know what in your mind is going on in your mind at all. This is indicative of a serious problem in the world. This is indicative of a group of people that could care less about murdering bunches and bunches of you. The ends justify the means and all that. The means justify the ends. They don't care. Can you legislate around the world? You can get someone else to legislate. You could legislate, but does it matter? It depends on how big you are. Well, these guys aren't that big. But they're making the claim. And if you don't put importance on this claim now, like I said, I couldn't believe it. My mouth opened. I just could not believe I was reading. Audacity doesn't even cover this. The bold declaration was made in legal materials recently submitted to the Israeli Supreme Court, in which the government representative said the Knesset is allowed to ignore international law anywhere it desires. Well, if I was to extend to them the status of a government, a nation, that's right, because it's only norms and customs. But does that mean that they can now intrude? Does that mean that that gives them any power and authority? Absolutely not. Certainly not where they're just considered a rogue occupier, a rogue invader. The article goes on to say in this article, these remarks were made last month in a written response filed to the Israeli Supreme Court relating to the petition against the settlement regularization law filed by Palestinian legal groups Adalah, the Legal Center of Arab Minority Rights in Jerusalem, in Israel, and Jerusalem Legal Aid and Human Rights, and another Al-Mazan Center of Human Rights. Their petition was made on behalf of 17 local Palestinian authorities in the West Bank. So this is a land grab. And my problem with this is they went to the Israeli Supreme Court. They gave it authority, didn't they? Now, they may not have much of a choice, but I didn't hear any objections, and from what I could tell in the documentation, I couldn't see objections made. How do you go to your oppressor and get any kind of an answer that's justice? It doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? But this is what they've done. So it told me the organization who's filed the petition, and this is the headline of what caught me. I had to laugh to myself because this is what I did. Jaw-dropping declaration, Knesset can make laws everywhere in the world, violate sovereignty of foreign states. Now, a lot of y'all, you patriots, you veterans, are laughing because, oh yeah, go ahead, come on over here. This is not the point. You don't understand. All y'all that say that or do that or think that or don't even care, that way don't understand the dynamic of how you've been taken down already. This is why I shake my head and laugh at y'all for not thinking properly about how a nation gets taken down from the inside, how the cancer metastasized, how you were supposed to be vigilant to every foreign and domestic enemy. And you weren't. Violate sovereignty of foreign states. This is their attitude. This is the problem of someone who believes it. You're not going to change that attitude. And if you think you can ignore it, you look at the world, I can tell you it doesn't. Now you think that it's not going to happen over there. I'm going to remind you, as I said before, I want to read this story. You can read it yourself. I just got three links. I couldn't believe I was reading this. There's another one. Israeli government, Knesset, can make laws everywhere in the world and can violate sovereignty from the organization Adala. A human rights, manimal rights group. Okay? More to their credit for trying to get this story out, but it seems to me that their response are kind of a lot weak, and they're not doing parallel attacks as well. But not for me. More to understand that we're the pipsqueak, the tail that wags the dog in the world that subverts your governments, has subverted stuff in the government, has made things inside your government that you're probably unlikely unaware of unless you've been doing some research. It's already infiltrated to start the takedown of this country. It's why you see the preeminence and predominance of the Zionist, if you will, that's what the people are, the Zionist political influence in the United States of America and everywhere, but lots of places around the world, if not everywhere. Because they are making laws that are violating sovereignty. And how do they do that? Well, that reminded me what I was thinking back when this thing started to come up in the 90s. And before I get to that, I got some links to the Adala.org. I went through the stories, and it took a while to figure out what documents they were talking about, but I got the links for you, so you don't have to do it. If you can read Hebrew, great. Looked around a little bit, found out that what's being talked about, what I'm going to give you another link to a video, is pretty accurate. But what I was able to read in these documents that the Israeli government is saying that they can do all this, they refer and reference the authority of international law. They do that in English. That's how I could read it. Now, you want to tell me the deception that's going on, that someone who denies the use of international law can then just use it whenever it suits them, is a criminal. And they're certainly looking out for their best interest, but no one else. When you want to live in a peaceful world, you can't have that sort of an element around because it's too unknown. It's too arbitrary and capricious. Even an administrative definition would not allow this. But I found it fascinating. Those things I could read in English refer to court cases in the United States. They refer to international law that they denounce they're using. Well, they actually say they can use what they want. The problem with all this is that creates an antagonism in the world. It creates a war in the world. There's no way to deal peacefully with people that won't set a foundation and can be trusted to honor it. This is what we're dealing with in this Israeli mentality. They believe they can come to your country, and I'm going to show you here that they have, at least to a minor extent, they've laid the foundation for it to explode. Like I've told you, all your code violation things, your trust things, your the authority that the government thinks it has to put carbon credits on you, all and control your properties and tax you, has been in the laws for a long time that you've accepted. And so they've incrementally taken society down a primrose path that they're completely unaware of. And another fact, there was someone came out with a Twitter and said something about old folks, elderly, are losing their homes to property taxes. And I came back, it's probably because because of the fraud, they haven't understood the fraud against their property, the defamation, the mischaracterization of the property as real property held less than fee simple and subject to ad valorem taxation instead of the patent land that granted the government exclusive to the holder, the assignee, or against even the government. And so ignorance and lack of knowledge of remedy, in the first instance, is a problem. Secondarily, is then exposing when you go there the criminality of the government agent that won't care. This underpins this mentality. We can make rules anywhere and control you anywhere in the world, and it all has the same source. If your behavior is not consistent with what we say as we determine it, you will not continue. And in the rule they want to apply, the rule that one of the rules that have been attached, the acknowledgments in the United States, it's been in the rules since 1993, is the ethics guidelines that underpins all this insane nonsense. It's fascinating what people don't know is there, and so I started to look. Once I saw it's now open, Israel's declaring essentially control of the world. It's not much different than the Pope, and we're going to have a crossing of the problem here for those of you that do the study. It's not a problem when you see it. It's just a bunch of nonsense, a bunch of warmongers. You can get rid of them if you're a mass of people that understand all this. But for those of the people, most of the society, it seems, ignorant of this all, you get strung by the nose, and the rest of you that think you know, you start vilifying other people. You start using these same maligning titles against them. You call people names instead of going after what they're doing as a crime. You're not helping anything either. That's why you don't hear me going off on all that, and I don't get lots of listeners because I don't go off on the thing you want to rah-rah about. The labels are killing people. They're killing us. They're not advancing the cause. I don't talk about liberals. I talk about the crime they've just committed. You'll have to do this eventually. You're going to be just absorbed by what's already in the world. So I went to look, remind myself. Here's the people that declared right in the Supreme Court of their own court, which is going to find this is quite fine, even though that Supreme Court's been kind of doing some interesting decisions on where there is limits. This is the kind of thing that's actually working in the world beyond what the Supreme Court of the Israeli Supreme Court would say. But these people believe they're the possessors and controllers of the world, and you're going to serve what they do. Where do we find that in the United States? Well, I went doing some research. Amazing stuff's out there. And I'm going to direct you. I don't know these people at all. I listened to the broadcast. It was over 2.5 hours. The things that were stated were true enough. The things that they brought out were true enough. The condition and the problem that they're having with the supposedly their own kind, if you will, is true enough. And we identified this problem in the religious field and the so-called pastors. In the 90s, there's been a problem. More to the point today, I found somebody who actually knew about at least one, and now there's two, proclamations or insertions into United States law of the underlying law that drives what your behavior will be in the future, that works out to be the NHS trust, hospital care, the triggering things that you see in the world, all these different aspects that are undefinable feelings are all sprouting from this thing called the no-hide laws. And this link, nomorenews.org. I was fascinated. This stuff's on the internet now. They went through 2.5 hours of discussion. Like I said, it was interesting enough I stuck with it because they were identifying places to go read. And finally they came on. There was a bill, and I can't remember the public law that they show. And it was what I remember back when. And so I'm going to take what they're saying with that much truth. That you will hear, and in the video they show you the words that say that the United States government, under the color of an education day, made a public law that accepted the ethics of the no-hide laws, 7 laws. The problem I've told you with that is not just that they state laws and how they're supposed to be good and you're supposed to be good. It comports with what you might think as a religious Christian thing, thou shalt not steal this and that. You have to understand there's an execution clause. And that's not determined by due process that you might understand. It's more determined by the process that's going on in the Israeli courts that they decide. Because it's their law. And that was adopted by the United States government. And no veteran, nobody took an oath to defend a foreign domestic enemy within the gates, stepped up to shut it down. And they found a second one in this video. And there's other things. And there's more. And the gentleman who's doing the information, you could tell he's done a lot of... There's so much more than I've ever thought. all now since I've been looking at it, it's a bit scary in a way that all this has gone underneath everybody's witness. They've loaded the record with acknowledgments of foreign standards. This is no different than sustainability. This is no different than alternative dispute resolution with the savings clause provision. You don't learn the antecedent authority needs to be first before the next can happen. They're going to use these standards, and have been actually, to incrementally take down your system. As I've told you before, as soon as they get rid of property, they don't have to give you due process. As soon as then you're already treated as an animal, they're just making sure that they treat you, what, humanely. And there's nothing in the four laws that says that they're treating you inhumanely, and that's on their discretion anyway. And if you want to see how these laws work out, look and see what they're doing to the Palestinians. I've told you that the people of the United States don't understand. They're just the open-air prison of Gaza. They just don't see it. How long ago did I say that? Those of you that listened to me for a long time, how long? Anyway, so I'm fascinated. There's so much information now. Just this one video, I was really impressed, actually. I didn't have a chance to go reprove all the things. I really don't have the time. I know what this thing does that we're up against, and I'm learning better and better and better how to defeat it, and quickly. And part of the answer is you understand it's not in your jurisdiction. It's a foreigner invading. You just don't say that. You have to identify how, and then you say it. No different than you just can't say an extortion's happening to me against my property. You have to lay out the five elements, and then you say it. It was an official, under color of the official, unwarranted coming against a property that was mine exclusively, or handed that exclusive property that was mine to someone else, is extortion. That's a felony. That's what you lay out. The authority vested to Congress did not allow them to divest the posterity of the laws that they had enacted. You don't let them sit with this stuff without a comment to it. You have to understand the science behind how it got there and accurately identify it and then undo it. That's just another principle. Like contracts, things like of contract, you have to undo them in reverse order of their occurrence. In other words, with paperwork, you got to go right back down through each paper, if you will, if that's what you have an agreement, and you have to invalidate each one in the proper way. It's formality. Why? Because in the courts of law and justice, the real ones, they require evidence. You just don't do it by your opinion. It required that we be a whole lot more responsible to ourselves, and we failed to do that. Hey, you're getting back to this. I was just, in a way, I was shocked too. My mouth opened up again. They identified that law, the law that I'd heard about back in the 90s. It was an incorporation of an education day where they incorporated the standard of the seven laws, the no-hide laws. And everybody looked past the fact that the one who interprets those are going to do the literal execution if you don't behave right, which do not fulfill and are antagonistic. Well, first of all, they're idolatry in their application, which is a violation, and they do not fulfill how this country, could not fulfill and do not fulfill what this country, the United States of America, the republic that we were supposed to keep, is supposed, how it's supposed to function. And so I'm saying, again, I'm offering all this stuff for those of you that really want to start digging a little bit deeper to understand there's a basis for what we're seeing in the world today. It's all violation to us, and the way we're going to be able, we should be able to defend ourselves at least until the bigger answer shows up, is to assert the failure of that to be viable in your country by the standard as the man and women, not the human, the man and woman created it. And I've offered in the past how, again, like why property law becomes so darn important. What did I start with? That story is about the resettlement of lands that are foreign criminal occupier are stealing from people, and those people have no protection now. They're without the weapons to protect themselves. They're without the law. They're without the objective basis. They're without the justice, just like you are today in the United States of America, whether you really see that or not. You complain about it, but you don't understand the nuts and bolts about it. You've never put the electron microscope on it and found the virus. I have to say, I think I have. I believe I have. I got good pictures. But they did prove something, and they do continually prove something, because I can reuse them and re-explain how the virus, where it is. I get the picture. I can track it. I can know exactly what's going to happen. I can anticipate what's going to happen. And this is where we haven't been as a society. It's driving us into this so-called global order. They bring it on with this chaos, and it's all the truisms, but it's really not the mechanism either. We get lost in all that. I think the knowledge of that is enough to stop them. And what do? We just go and do the next thing that they were into allowing us to do, even in our resistance, because the resistance not properly done is just like consent. It's not like, it is consent. And again, along the lines of this global order coming on it, and the fact that they need to control your behavior, and they're going to make the technology in order to have it done. I told you this was going to happen. This was weeks and weeks ago that finally hit the news. I'll get to it now. It's all in line with all how someone else, you're walking into someone else's. Someone actually is saying that they have a bigger jurisdiction than you ever thought of, and they have control, and you are our servant. And because you are, you're going to behave a certain way. It's partly your assent by use, by going ahead and then not protecting yourself. Like the elderly people having their property taken for taxes. It's a violation of so many laws, I can't even tell you, but it's happening. Nobody wants to settle down and do the proper study. I haven't had hardly anybody. People that claim to know, claim to be researching in the law since even the 90s, will they sit down and do what they're supposed to do to understand the real dynamic? It's a real problem. Anyway, so I've been telling you, and it came up here, Silent Weapons, Quiet Wars. They're building systems that you're going to plug into or assent into or not respond against in the proper ways, and we're all going to be kind of absorbed by it. And I've been really against this, the technocratic side of, like anybody would who's got any free mind about this and thinking about, well, how do you keep maintain being free from it? And I've said, you got to have alternatives. And I've said that the alternatives of the substance is going to be where you're going to be. For a miner, it's pretty simple. Your gold is in the bank. I don't mean the institutional bank. I mean it literally in the ground. It's in the soil disposed to you. It forms the basis of tangible a material that we can use as money or use for money that stores value and is hard. It doesn't disappear on someone's whim. And I said the way we're going to have to do this is to go to those things, back to those things. And I've been telling you, production, it's that exclusive use against the whole world, even the government. In production and land possession, you have the rights to do this, that inside land production you have to keep to the purity of those things, and keeping gold and silver coin is in production. It responds to someone's labor. It's not the fiat fiction, and then now we're going into the bigger scary part, into the vaporware of digital currency. That I told you, be careful of the Bitcoin, be careful of the cryptocurrency. It's not decentralized. It's not anonymous. It's not protected. How many times have I told you this? And I said, what they're doing is to seeing what the objections are. The method is they introduce something and they see what your objection to that alternative is. And they do the smart thing. I tell you, they go through and they do the analysis and they come up with something that's transformative against what you thought you were going to protect because you've ran out of ideas. And I've said, be careful, what they're doing is getting you to be involved, and eventually governments will control the valid blockchain, and they'll be cracking down anything that's not. And I said, this thing that you're getting used to, all you free people that think you're into being doing this alternative currency that's free from government, eventually it turns into something that it's not. It's going to be government controlled. And we, and I've given you the reports, and here's another one that came out. Economic Policy Journal, not good. Fed Chairman Powell confirms Federal Reserve exploring government cryptocurrency. During a testimony today on Capitol Hill before the Senate Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs, Federal Reserve Chairman Jay Powell confirmed the Federal Reserve was exploring the possibility of creating a government cryptocurrency. This author now agrees. This is not good. Such a cryptocurrency would allow the government to track all monetary transactions. Well, where have you heard that, folks? How many years ago? This is not even a question. They're not just looking, exploring the possibility. Lagarde already said they're working out the problems to make it so. India has been doing, you know, debasing of their big bills. People went right over to digital because that's all they had. They looked at what the herd did. That gave them a lot of information on how they're going to bring this thing through. You think that, oh, it's only happening, biometrics is happening in India. They had to back off. They're now doing adjustments that's not important. It's only over in India. They're already doing the biometrics in your real ID. They're already going to tie that into the whole system. The Fed, the fiat system, is already looking going into digital. This author says that's not anonymous. In fact, all these articles come together. We track 130,000 Ethereum names and expose their secrets. We analyzed 133,000 Ethereum names and their respective balances. We found it was possible to identify several high-profile people, even if they weren't using their real names. We were able to see business deals and watch people's movements just using blockchain. It was a story that came out this week, and somebody looking at this problem with this cryptocurrency, and I was suggesting to you long ago, this is a trap. This is getting you into doing something that's going to be controlled. It's trackable, traceable, it's controllable, and it's going to be utilizing the ethics that's already sitting in since 1993 in a supposed education law that acknowledges the priority of the seven laws. No hide laws. They didn't reference your constitution. They didn't reference your state. They didn't reference anything to do with your country, did they? That's the education system? Who runs the education system? The feds? Tail wag the dog here much, folks? You going to behave yourself, folks? And so, this thing is just, it's been obvious to me. I like the technology. I just don't like what I know they've been doing with it, what they plan to do with it. And here now, if it was a question before, they are now looking at doing a blockchain ledger that anybody can look into, anybody can see. The government controls, and the government's going to control. They have the switch of who's going to be doing what, and it's going to be based on whether or not you've complied sufficiently. To what? To the rules that they've developed. Ultimately, to what? To conform with the tail that's wagging the dog. And your subservience to that. For all you people that will give it lip service and call people names, you're not doing a darn thing to stop this, and you plug in like the Silent Weapons of Quiet Wars document says you're going to. So, here it is. The Fed's going to go digital. If I didn't tell you before, if you don't believe me, if you even knew it, now it's fact. They say exploring. No, they're really, they wouldn't put any time in this if they thought it was the problem that they've been declaring this whole time up until now. So, here it is. This is the control. The global control is here. It's not even a problem to see. We have false science and BS coming through, and logic and policies coming through as people that are inherently fallen. Being guided by the tail wagging the dog that cannot meet what this country, how this country was established, cannot meet the ultimate condition that they're talking about. For those of you that had analyzed that, those rules are idolatry. If you didn't understand the broadcast, I talked to you about the children of Satan. You missed that one too. the deception that would be on us. You're missing what I'm saying. You're missing even understanding in practice, not that your knowledge, in the practice of working against it, exposing the practice of deception, not giving them, not calling people names. They'll do the jujitsu on that, and they have control of that medium. I said the path is narrow. I've been joking about this. You have to figure that out. It's just what has to happen. And it can't be done in silence, and it can't be done with a knowing nod, and it can't be done with chatting and doing only chatting, and it can't be done by not really responding. And as I keep showing you, there is power in the local government. As corrupt as they'll be, you can work through it and even go. I said, one commissioner and the law and the persistence of the commissioner in the law is a majority. That has worked for us in numerous places. And I've suggested to you that you've seen evidence of that with one of the commissioners being recognized by the President of the United States. There's a way at this, or we can continue to complain. And I guess that's why I keep shaking my head. They are setting up a system, and we're going to be acknowledging it by just participating, getting in the habit of it, on laws and systems that are foreign to our nature. And we won't even know what that nature is. We've lost, for the most part, it seems to me, we've lost what that nature is. And behind the woodshed, I tried to bring those principles back so that we can get back into using them. You want to talk like a tough guy? You want to be a tough vet? You want to talk against me? You tell me what you've done about the incremental encroachment in this nation over the last 20, 30 years even. Why you fight and argue with me instead of going and stopping that. Since the 90s. They've got us so over a barrel right now, it's just embarrassing. And yet I see people still engaging in how this is working, and they're telling us. They've been telling us at least since 9/11. Again, folks, they went and done it. They tripped the trigger that brings us to hindsight 2020, and they're going to continue to do it to us because we fight amongst ourselves or call people names and think that's good enough. And yet it's all written. All you got to do is read this stuff. The problem is you got to apply it is the next step, which is a lot more of a problem for people, it seems. And so, what do I say? What more do I say? Digital currencies is the future. It's the Fed's going to be doing it. The way you stay out of their clutches is to be doing something different, rely on something different in a place that they can't extend their clutches and hooks to. And I don't know what more to say when I tell you that the grant disposal land law in the United States gives exclusive power against government impositions on many fronts. And the reason that I'm saying many and not all is because you will have to face potentially the police power problem. Which, if you listen to what I'm saying, I give you those answers as well. And the Fifth Amendment takings that they try to do, you have an answer there too, and not a guarantee, but it's much better than losing your property to some foisted, demonstrable exigence, like national security or flu or whatever the heck it is. You'll have a much better word in your mouth, and better yet, the bag of law, the presentation, the counterattack to their fraud and felony against you, the treason against you, than I've heard anywhere else, anybody offer anywhere else on the subject matter that I do. And I don't know that I'm trying to think. I go real quick trying to think, but I don't think I call anybody any names. Well, crickets, okay, but that's a fact, not a name. And this is the whole point. Crickets is a function. And I don't see any, I don't care what title you put on yourself, I want to exalt yourself, I don't care who you are in the country, what you've done, I see nobody actually addressing much of this, any of this. And it continues. Anyway, here it is. Fed's going to go to digital currency. They've got it planned. They're working around the world in order to work out the bugs on the implementation. For those of you that don't have it, you have to establish that you don't need it and that they don't have the right to put it on you, and that they were supposed to provide for your health, safety, welfare without going to some special mechanism. That's your organic antecedent rights. Do you even know what those are? Do you know them? Do you only know them to say them, or do you actually, can you list them out and then press it? And I've given you the Virginia Constitution as the example of how you press it. It's really a simple condition. So they're going to get you on digital. They're going to get you into this world of your phones and all this other stuff. And then I run across this story. I think I got it from Grimner on Twitter. Just to let you all know, you got a little bit more protection, but not, because there's also some other problems. But Linux kernel runtime guard for Debian, Unix, Cubes, and Kick Secure. It's a guard on the kernel which protects against many, but not all, exploits to the kernel, which is your main program, keeps track of all the stuff that's going on. The point here is, yeah, you can take this program and put your faith in someone that they've done that. And I'm not yet, I'm still looking into this. I may put this on my Linux machine. I'm not quite sure yet. I haven't had the time. You put your trust in someone who claims, and remember, Unix was getting government funding at some point. So that's a big question. But you put your trust in the faith that someone's putting a guard on many. You still leave out a few that aren't. And then you go back to the Fed that says they're going to force digital currency on you, and tell me how secure is your future life? And then I'm going to ask you another question: how much more secure is your future life relative to your monetary concerns if you had gold and silver coins in your pocket or within reach? Within reach, maybe a little closer than your Second Amendment power to protect it. Is the answer you're going to have to come up with here really soon? Do you rely on all these things that, even though helpful people are trying to help you protect yourself, or are you going to realize that all these things are vulnerabilities at every turn, things you can't possibly understand, threats you can't possibly know, or are you going to tell yourself stories that you're going to go ahead and close your eyes and do the la-la forever, hoping that everything's okay? So the Fed's going to go to digital currency, and then the next story I see is, well, we got vulnerabilities on your computer kernels. And then if you go to your phone, what? What do you have an Android? It's Google-owned, and you're not at root. And when I looked at how to make it root, how dangerous it was to your hardware to make it, I realized this is a plan. They don't want you to have the root control of that machine. They want to sit there and keep looking at your stuff. And that's apparently why Google is sued over its claims it spies on U.S. students. No, they're denying. Google denies that they've given computers to kids in schools to do a certain type of Google program. They deny that they're taking personal information, which is against the law. They deny it, but the New Mexico general attorney doesn't necessarily believe that. And so another evidence to me, one way it doesn't matter one way or the other. But do you want a system that is hackable that way? You don't know who's looking in. You want your digital currency to be available to these people? You certainly are going to be subject to their behavioral rules. Is that the future that you want? And if you don't, why don't I hear more people together moving to stop it? Objectively, in the black and white, not making up stuff like sanctuary cities. The Attorney General of the United States, State of New Mexico, is suing Google, accusing company of illegally collecting the personal data of school children. You think that's all they can do, folks? Remember, this is the company that removed Don't Be Evil. And then the first thing we found out, like within a week, they were being evil. They're not the only one. I mean, we focus on Google. The data was allegedly gathered from a Google Chromebook, laptop, and G Suite for education program. Two M's and an E here, so it's foreign anyway. Do you trust Google's Chromebook? They say it's Google's. You trust the government's license? They say it's theirs. to travel? You trust the government's license? You asked for it. Silent weapons for quiet wars. You didn't turn around and say, but what's how come my right of ingress and egress under the road law in this grant ain't good enough? Did you say that? Did you begin with that? No, we don't do that. We're a society. United States of America is a bunch of people that are ignorant and victimized. And we're abused. And we maintain the abuse. We're our own slaves. And we make life easier so we engage. We send our kids into school. Our little goats go to school to learn how to consume this stuff. I don't even know if this is a legitimate case or a setup case at the New Mexico Attorney General. Because when you look at what the Google is saying, it's a technical response. If technically they're correct, the Attorney General by accident said it wrong, it gives the impression that Google's not doing anything wrong. That could be a court precedent. And that's what the whole point was. It had nothing to do with actually challenging Google. We don't know. So you put all your money, the Fed's going to go with blockchain, put your whole life on a blockchain that you can be figured out by people just looking into transactions because they're not secret. Intelligence coup of the century, CIA ran a global spy op using well-known Swiss encryption company. Now, if this doesn't make Switzerland an actually a war-mongering country to remove their neutrality, I don't know. But the CIA ran their global spy through a trusted encryption company. Interestingly, China and Russia didn't buy in to that hardware. In a bombshell report, the Washington Post reveals a massive covert operation which was hidden in plain sight. See? Hidden. Everything's in plain sight here, folks. I keep telling you that. Just go read. The black and white tells you it's all in plain sight what they're doing to you. And that's how you end up reading that and you know how to stop it as soon as you see it. Well, you should. Hidden in plain sight that seems straight out of the confessions of an economic hitman. Right in your economy. It can hit you right in your wallet. What's in your wallet? And it's gone, is what's in your wallet. It's yet more conspiracy theory of the past, now definitively proven conspiracy fact. That's your life, folks. We can claim it to be conspiracy theory and complain, or we can not engage, don't buy in, and work to stop it. Because not working to stop it, it continues it. For the past decades, the CIA owned and operated a front company based in Switzerland for the purpose of spying on secret government communications across the globe. Isn't that also a place that's supposed to have this great privacy laws? This, according to a newly unearthed 280 pages of an internal CIA history of the operation obtained by the Post, along with Swiss public broadcaster SRF and German broadcaster ZDF. I'll let you read the rest if you're interested. This is your world, the brave new world. They're coming in with this digitization. The feds are telling you they're coming after your wallet. And how are you going to survive when you're up against seven little laws that you don't perceive as a danger that are not interpreted by anybody in the country? The execution of which is executive, not judicial. I say that my mind wants to freak. Part of me wants to freak sometimes. I just want to start screaming. Part of me also starts thinking about different examples. I'm not too much into this. This has been going off into child services. Something interesting is going on in the case of the Idaho woman with the so-called cult doomsday mom. Her kids have disappeared. Look very carefully at what's going on there. CSD is involved in that one. Now I don't know what her reason for keeping those kids hidden are. I would have suggested that if they were after her kids to do that. But now she went to Hawaii, and they just got an extradition order to bring her back, which is fascinating to me relative to CSD and the authority or lack of authority they have, is the kind of brand new subjection that all you all are subject to. Based on what? Somebody's authorized but fabricated story. somebody else's interpretation. Now, I don't know if those two people are nuts, criminals, or what. But when I heard that CSD got involved, I said, here, we have an administrative, non-judicial action that the judiciary will support. Why? Because it's the Bar Association, and they embrace the rights of child, a foreign law that's in this country. So I told you I was doing the CSD Child Services documentary of child abuse within that system. Okay, moving on. Does anybody take notice? Does anybody care? You care enough to complain, or do you care enough to do what's right to stop it? Keep track of how these administrative things take you out, put you in civil side, and take away your due process. Take away your property rights. Because you're not deemed to have any already. You don't think it's already here. And they did it without firing a shot, and they made irrelevant all you Second Amendment defenders. Absolutely astonishing to me to watch this in my lifetime. Gates Foundation announces population control microchip. From humans are free, you animals. You pest animals, no less, even. If you listen to me and you know and you've done the reading, you're not men or women. Bill Gates thinks you're an animal, and he's going to put a lot of money into figuring out how to make a lot less of you. Why he's the authority, I don't know. But here's the story: a bit. He was seemingly a nice guy in the first half of his life. Actually, when you look at it, he was not. He might have been a thief on the software that he ended up cajoling out of IBM. I don't quite know about that, but anyway, an average American who made his fortune by selling hardware and software worth billions, becoming a world icon and living example of American dream. But in the second half of his life, he teamed up with the world's elite in an attempt to reduce the world's population by billions, and he means business. He soon became one of the most infamous depopulation activists, lecturing on the genocidal vaccines, conducted vaccination campaigns, and crippled and killed countless people in the third world countries, designing GMO mosquitoes that would carry and inject deadly viruses, and he's constantly finding new methods of achieving his sick plans. Well, that's also eugenics. That's also tied back to the earlier no hide and superiority and supremacy and all that stuff, and you will do what you're told, you little animal. And so he's one of that. Whether he's one of them, I don't know. But this is not a belief system. Well, it is a belief system. This is a politics. This is a mental illness. And so you decide to look, do your own research and come up with your own conclusions on all this. And there's the problem. After the microchip that he designed, helped design, it was supposed to be a remote-controlled contraceptive microchip. And then because they handed the controller to the woman, it becomes okay, and so that she can turn it on and turn it off. It's called it has a contraceptive called Levonorgestrel. Now, I've been hearing through round stories, some of these newer contraceptives are not cool at all either. Well, forget the eugenic side of it. I mean, they are really just bad news. At any rate, here, we have a chip that's wirelessly controlled. What's the phrase now? What could go wrong? RFID style, just like we've been told, but now they want to make it look like they're doing people a service, and this guy, again, Bill Gates, is in the thick of it, running his beliefs on the rest of the world and influencing governments to make it look like they're doing the public interest. Underneath what? Health. Likely, from my perspective, the worst case scenario the people could be up against when a government steps in with its police power underneath that excuse. And you see what happens in a highly dictatorial place in shutting down a thing. We're getting the evidence, regardless of what it all means, we're getting the evidence of what happens in China. They'll actually vilify you and put you in prison for outing a prop, for explaining the public problem, than to embrace you and help you. because it's going to go down the track that they've planned. And I've asked you to be try to identify what that plan is so you can stay out the way of that freight train. Better yet, start getting involved so they can't do it to you locally. You start putting on these, you start making records of these problems that the officials use to blanket as authority, the substance of which has no foundation. You identify that. You don't have to know the whole subject matter. You just have to know how what they're doing is not supported by what they're saying. That the best science be is BS. It's not actual fact. And better, you show that it could not be. And so in the digital world and the behavioral control, we're moving on through today on this control by someone else's rule, someone else's needs, beyond your needs, actually, under the collar of a need and a benefit to you by this thing called government that was supposed to be working in your behalf, but now has taken and adulterated that. And you see the correlation between the seven Noahide laws rationale applied here as well. They're going to continue to move on, and I haven't touched some of these before. How you stop this is getting involved, and we had some evidence long way back when I was before the tabs got run down that you have an effect you can do. San Francisco amends facial recognition ban after realizing city employees could no longer use smartphones. And so there's a real cause and effect between the government integration and what they give to themselves and relative to what they need to do, which is exactly where I usually jump in, and we cause this kind of a mess, and then we expose they can't really do what they've been trying to do to advance an agenda. San Francisco amends facial recognition ban because it was interfering with how their system worked internally, which shows you their laws are supposed to be internal, not against you. And that makes consistent, it's consistent again with the fact that they're not supposed to make rules and codes for your private property that's exclusively yours and to the contrary to every other interest. Now, given it's being used in its capacity that was granted, in other words, you're not going to make it you can't make it a nuisance. That then invokes that check and balance. In May, and this is back a bit, how long ago I've had this, San Francisco became the first city in the United States to ban facial recognition by city agencies. Being on the cutting edge has its drawbacks, and the city has now found out several months later that Tom Simonite and Gregory Barber, in a wire report, that the programs, that the technology that they're using in the city was interfered with by banning the facial recognition that required that service within the app that the city needed. And so we see right here evidence again that the city isn't forward thinking, isn't thinking about the ramifications, the unintended consequences, but that they will respond for their own good and not yours. And so this was just indicative to me of another form of the battlefield that I look at, and in looking forward when they're not, looking into the ramifications, looking for the unintended consequences, but that it will come down, that they will do what's best for the city, not for you. That is on you. That's always been your responsibility. I hope something I said invigorates you, motivates you to get things done, not just talk about them, not just complain, not just call people name. Thank you, Grimner, for what you do at reallibertymedia.com. Folks, we're still in the donation. I should have said that earlier, I guess. Some more donations for now hardware I would ask for. Maybe a couple hundred more dollars from those of you that can. I appreciate what you have done in the past here in the recent weeks. And those of you that will resend this broadcast out and syndicate it and all you do to get the word out. I appreciate all that. I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs or Nature Willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.